You might notice I'm walking a little funny. If there's one thing I am not, it is coordinated. So IT is one of the things that I do, and it's a very dangerous job. I know you're like, Eric, the IT is not a dangerous job. No, I dropped a laptop on my foot, and I was barefooted. And yeah, I didn't break it, so that's good, but there's definitely a contusion, fancy word for ouch. So, good morning. It's good to see everybody. I'm excited. I'm going to be seated today, so I'm not going to be walking around the floor. You're welcome. David's giving me the thumbs up for the camera. So, it's just don't zoom in too tight. Okay. Well, before we get started, I would just like to pray, and we'll just dive right in, okay? Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you for this day. And Lord, I just ask that you would have your way in this place. May every word that is said be from you, and may it be useful to help us, to strengthen us. Lord, I yield myself over to you. Come, Holy Spirit, say the words for your people. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. So, we are on this series, Questions from Heaven. And so, all year long, we're going to be looking at different questions that God asks, or Jesus asks, same person. And so, the last month, and by the way, month by month, we're going to be kind of focusing on different things. Last month, we're having questions that confront. This month, I'm pleased to introduce kind of our new series on questions, Questions When We Doubt. Doubt. It's a funny word. It's got a B in it for no reason. And doubt. So it's a good idea if we set a little groundwork first when we're talking about doubt. And so as adults, I don't really have to explain what doubt is. I think doubt is just kind of one of those natural things that happens to us, which is interesting because as children, we're born with like unlimited faith. Right? Especially around a certain time of year, there just seems to be unlimited faith. And so we all, when we were children, had that kind of anything is possible type of mentality. But along the way, things happen to us, and we start to lose that mentality. And so is it any wonder that Jesus said in Matthew 18, 2 through 4, he told us that unless we become like children, we can't even enter the kingdom of heaven. It's that childlike faith, that rickety table. It's that childlike faith. It's that faith that, I believe that. I find it useful to define things so that it helps us to get a little clarity. So let's take a look at what doubt means just from a dictionary point of view. So doubt, the first thing it is to call into question the truth of, to be uncertain. Doubt is to lack confidence in. Doubt also is to consider unlikely. So with these definitions in mind, I think you can see why doubt is so offensive to our Lord. Just absolutely an offense. Because when we're doubting, we're lacking confidence in him. We call into question the things that he said, and to consider it unlikely that he's able to do things. And I'll be honest, if people felt that way about me, that'd be heartbreaking, like to doubt the things that I say or my motives or my intentions. So therefore, if we're born with unlimited faith, what happened? Now, it's different for every single one of us. Like, we all have those defining things that crushed our faith, that bruised our faith, that damaged our faith in one way or another. And I'm not concerned with the what and the how. It's up to you to know. And God gives you that. But if I were to ask, have you ever prayed for something? and it just didn't work out. Yeah, I think we could all raise a hand or two to say that, I've prayed and God didn't answer my prayer. I've got actually kind of a list of them I won't go through, of things that I prayed specifically God would do for me or my family or for other people, and he didn't answer the prayer that I prayed, but he did answer it still. So as we go through these questions about doubt this month, understand that you do have doubts, and that's okay. It's okay. God wants to help you in your doubts. So we're going to turn our attention to the story that we find in Matthew chapter 9, and it's verse 28. And the question is, do you believe that I am able to do this? And in chapter 9, some really, really amazing things take place. There's the healing of the paralytic in the mat. You guys know the story? I'm going to have to stand up. I'm sorry. I've been trying to sit and be good. Sorry, foot. So, in the story, sorry, David. In the story, I won't move too much. They tear off the roof, and his friends lower down the paralytic, and he's healed. No one has ever healed a paralytic before, but Jesus did. And then we get to see the calling of Matthew, a tax collector, a dirty, rotten cheat, as you had pointed out. He was a cheater. He was stealing from people. But Jesus called him anyway. In that same time, Jesus had dinner with a bunch of cheats, and people got pretty upset about that. There was, in that same chapter, the woman with the issue of blood, who had the faith to just, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. I saw a funny meme that says my bank account needs to touch the hem of his garment. So anyway, but she reached out in faith, touched the hem of his garment, she was healed. And Jairus's daughter died, and Jesus raised her back to life. So, I mean, huge things happened, miracles happened in chapter 9. And so that brings us to the end of chapter 9, and that's where we're going to kind of camp out. So as you can see, prior to the event that we're talking about, or we're about to talk about, Jesus performed many, many miracles, and multitudes of people saw these miracles take place. They were there, like, wow, the little girl that died, she's alive again. The woman that had spent all of her money and time on doctors is now healed. And Matthew, a dirty, rotten cheat, is now a disciple of Jesus Christ. So in this story, after all of these things, in chapter 9, two blind men came to Jesus asking to be healed, to receive their sight. And that's where Jesus says, do you believe that I'm able to do this? So what do we know about these two men? Well, we know that they're men, and we know they're blind. That's it. We don't know their names. We don't know how long they've been blind. They could have been blind from birth. They could have been sighted until one day they lost their ability to see. We just don't know. All we know is that they're blind. But let's just, for the sake of today, let's say that they were blind from birth, never seeing anything. Nothing. So what made them believe that Jesus could do for them what they were asking? You see, unlike the multitudes, they never saw one miracle. Not one. You know what? They're just like us. We never have seen Jesus raised someone from the dead. I mean, maybe you have. I'm not going to be presumptuous. But we've only heard. And so what made them have this kind of like radical belief? They just believed because they had heard it. You know, and Paul actually said the same thing. He said that, I'm skipping ahead, sorry. So they had to have radically bold faith. And so we have to deal with our doubts too, and we have to ask ourselves hard questions like, why do I not believe that Jesus is able? Why am I uncertain that Jesus can help me? And these are questions that only we can answer, but Jesus wants to help you with your doubting. And so I want to take a look at this story again, because when they came to Jesus and they asked him, Lord, we want to receive our sight. And he says, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Notice what Jesus did not ask. Okay, so let me help you with your doubting. Jesus did not say, I will heal you after you repent of your sins. He didn't say, I will heal you after you go to the temple and make the proper sacrifices. He didn't say, I'll heal you after you've been baptized. He didn't say, I'll heal you after you've been an active member of a church for a while. He didn't say, I will heal you once you prove your worthiness to me. No, he just simply asked, do you believe I'm able to do this? So notice that Jesus didn't ask for any requirements to be met of these men. He just asked, do you believe I am able to do this? What was the requirement that Jesus had for these two blind men? Do you believe I am able to do this? See, it was all on them, but not for them to do anything, but to just simply believe what they had heard and trust. So their faith was just built solely on the things that they had heard Jesus was doing. Paul said in Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from the hearing of the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Jesus echoes this idea after the resurrection when speaking to Thomas in John 20:29. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, imagining that they have been blind since birth, after they were healed and they're able to see, the very first face that they see is the face of Jesus. The very first face that they're able to see with their eyes, for the first time maybe in their entire lives, is the face of their Savior. So today, if your faith is broken, if it's riddled with doubt, take heart. Jesus wants to help you in that doubt. How do I know? In 2007, I lost my father to cancer. In 2008, I told Jesus, forget it. I'm done with you. I don't have any part of you. Because I had prayed and prayed and believed and believed. My father still passed away anyway. So God didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted him to answer it. And so I was angry, bitter, full of anger towards him. And maybe, just maybe, some of you might feel the same way. Maybe there was a prayer that you've been praying and believing God for, and it just didn't work out. And it has left you with a broken peace inside you. And you felt like I did. What's the use? What's the point? He's not going to do anything anyway. But I'm here to tell you the truth as I stand before you now. All things are possible to those who believe. Yes. Through the faith and the prayers of many people, I stand before you now redeemed and healed. Clearly, lost my mind because I serve him out of such joy. The one that I was so angry with because he didn't answer my prayer. The same one redeemed me, restored me, brought me back to a place of faith. And so again, if your faith is not where you want it to be, that's okay. Just don't give up on him, because he will never give up on you. He will never leave you. You can walk away, but he never walks away from you. And faith, honestly, is nothing more than seeing Jesus. You see, when Peter was on the water, by the way, you couldn't even walk on water if it was like glass, you know what I mean? Like, it's just impossible. So the whole premise of it is crazy on its just stepping out of a perfectly good boat. But as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was doing the impossible. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was doing the very things that Jesus was doing. And if you find yourself in a broken place, in a dark place, in a place where I don't know if my prayers even get past the ceiling, keep praying. Believe that he is able to do. So, Drew, I'll have you come back up. So I'm going to do something a little unorthodox, if it's okay. I'm going to ask for radical boldness. Bless you. Radical boldness. Just like these two blind men. They had never seen Jesus do a thing. Not one thing. But they had heard that he was able to do things, and they had heard how he had healed people. They heard that he could raise the dead. They heard, but they never seen. So, I'm going to hobble down here. If you're in this place and you're broken, if you're in this place and your faith is full of holes, couldn't hold anything with your faith, I'm going to ask you to come down. I want to pray for you, because if God can redeem and restore me, he can restore anybody. And so I want to pray for you that your faith would be restored, and that what you're believing God for, that he would grant the desires of your heart. So I'll just open.